If you've been blessed by this faith-filled sermon and would like to sow a seed to our ministry, you may do so by mailing a financial blessing to Starlight Baptist Church, 156 Isaac Bruyette Road in Marksville, Louisiana, 71351. Or you may send a Cash App contribution to $SBC of Hickory Hill. You can also follow us on Facebook for our live stream broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. Starlight Baptist Church is dedicated to sharing hope and salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's K-A-Y-T, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the House of Praise, Full Gospel Missionary Baptist Church, with Bishop Dr. Wayne Thomas and Minister Charissia Thomas.
All of God's children say amen. And amen. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. The Bible reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of God's most holy and divine word. You may be seated in the Lord's church. Amen. Amen. Looking at that 1 Thessalonians, that 4th chapter, and looking at this 18th verse, where it says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I simply want to talk about for a few minutes in your hearing the rewards of salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. The rewards of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
We certainly thank God for him, for Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. We certainly give honor to Lady Thomas, our own, our children, and to the House of Praise Church family. We thank God we had a trying week, but God is good. Amen. Lady Thomas was, amen, in Baton Rouge. She had eye surgery. Her eyes healing well.
Amen.
She can see.
Yes.
And we thank God for that.
God
bless you, Lady Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
We certainly thank God for, and I'm going to correct it right here on the radio, thank God for Sister Judy Thomas.
Amen.
And Brother James Thomas.
Amen.
They are siblings. Amen.
Amen.
Not married couples.
Okay.
They are siblings. Brother and sister.
Yes.
And we thank God for you all. Y'all are doing a tremendous job. Thank you.
Thank you.
On yesterday, Brother James, for preparing the food. And all we had to do was pass it out.
It was good.
Amen. And the food was good. Thank you, Sister Judy, for handling the program. Y'all are doing a wonderful job. And we thank God for this church. This
Amen.
Church called House of Praise is growing.
Thank you.
And becoming what the Lord wants her to become.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
There's a word from the Lord now. The reward of salvation, and Jesus paid for it. Amen. The reward of salvation, and for subtitle, Jesus paid for it. Now, there are a lot of rewards in life given to us by different organizations. We have what's called, and y'all heard of it. It's not strange and not unfamiliar, but you heard of Life Achievement Awards.
Yes.
Am I right there?
Yes.
You heard of Civic Awards, Lady Thomas. Am I right there? And all of those awards and rewards, watch it, are good. But none of these rewards give us eternal life. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of Luke, in that 10th chapter and at verse number 20, Jesus said to the 70 disciples that he appointed, not his original 12 he called first, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What was Jesus saying? It's a blessing to get reward for accomplishments that we have achieved down here. But the greatest reward is salvation, knowing that we are saved. And when we die, we are on our way to heaven. Is that good news?
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to make sure that our names are written in the book. What book? The Lamb's Book of Life. And that reward is not given by man or earned, but Jesus himself gave us that reward. How he gave it to us? Because he gave up his body and shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus was saying, because I mentioned it, and when I mentioned the text, I got to deal with it, or I feel naked, Sister Judith. I feel uncovered if I don't deal with the text when I call it, because I have went to school and I feel my schooling kicking in. I told you in Luke, that 10th chapter and that 20th verse, let me tell you what was going on. Then we get back to the rewards. Is that all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus called the other 70 disciples. And he called the 12 first and sent them out. And he gave them power in their hand to heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, cast out demons.
Yeah.
But Jesus found out that those 12, his inner circle, was not enough. And so he called and appointed the 70. And they were so moved and excited with excitement because they had the power of Jesus to cast out devils and do all these things. But Jesus told them, that's good.
Come on.
But don't look at the fact that even the devils are subject to you while you're on earth working the things of God. But you need to make sure and be happy that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life.
Yeah.
So we're talking about today. Don't get hung up. I got you, Lady Thomas. Thank you for reminding me. Don't get hung up in the accomplishments on this side.
Come on.
Amen.
But be happy for the accomplishment that Jesus has already done for us.
Yes, Lord.
And paid for us by giving up his body to the cross.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about the rewards of salvation.
Come on. Yes, Lord.
A lot of people, I thank God for prestigious people in high places. We need some of those people.
Yeah.
I thank God for all the accomplishments that all of our civic leaders made down the line.
Yes.
Okay. I thank God for Rosa Parks, Dr. King. I thank God for all of them.
Yes.
But most of all, I thank God for what Jesus done on the cross.
Yes.
Are y'all with me here? Now, even before we get into this message, this for radio, I know y'all got it here.
But before we can get deep into the message, if we don't know where we're going, there's no sense in even getting into the message. Uh-oh. What am I saying here? First of all, if we are saved, we know without a doubt or shadow of a doubt we're on our way to heaven. Are y'all with me?
All right.
In the message, we will look at the process of how things will take place. Mm-hmm. For the saved, when we have died in Christ.
Yeah.
And or if we are still here when Christ comes back to get his church.
Okay.
But before we can receive that reward of salvation, we have to be saved. Yeah. Are y'all with me? Can I show us how to be saved?
Come on, please do.
It's real simple. In Romans 10 and 9, the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. You see, we have to do something. We have to believe, first of all. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We have to believe that he died for our sins.
Yes, Lord.
We are saved, son of saved, by the grace and mercy of God, by the body and blood of Jesus Christ and none other.
Come on.
And then we have to confess that with our mouth.
Yes.
That he died and God raised him from the dead.
Yes,
and the Bible said, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
Are y'all with me so far?
Yes.
That's the first thing we have to do. That's the first thing we have to do, because there's no sense in getting into the lesson if we're not going to believe that. We got to be saved first. You see, when you're not saved, then you can let all this foolishness come in. And I hear people talking that's in the Lord, and God forbid somebody preaching or somebody gave them a preacher's license and they don't believe where they're going when they're saved.
What?
You're not qualified to preach to people if you don't know where you're going
when you die.
All right. That's what led us to teach this lesson to us on this morning. Look at the text, if you will. First of all, Paul here is the writer of this epistle called Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was an apostle called of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message and purpose of the book was Timothy, Paul's son in the ministry, reported to Paul, although the church was suffering, house of praise, affliction, we're talking about the Thessalonian church, they were still holding fast to the faith and hope of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and that's what each church ought to do. Hold on to your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Because the church belongs to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. We can start the work.
Uh-huh.
We can plant the church.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But Jesus is the one that owns the church.
Come on,
Do I have a witness here?
Amen.
I want to make that clear this morning.
Yeah.
And so the church has to be operated by the word of God.
All right.
That's how our church is governed for our day vernacular. That's how the church is ran, by the word of God.
All right.
And so, watch it if you will. And though they had some doctrinal misunderstandings, they were laboring for the Lord out of love and patiently hoping for the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But Paul wanted them to be encouraged. And I want you to be encouraged, house of praise.
All right.
And I remind you that, watch it, sanctification was God's will and is God's will for our lives.
Yes, Lord.
He wanted to correct any misunderstanding about the end time events taking place now and later on.
Yeah.
And this book, Thessalonians, have four major themes to its introduction. Can I help us with that?
Oh, yes.
Look at it, if you will. Look at it. We just teaching a little bit, and we're going to get into the message. We just teaching. Okay. Teaching is necessary.
Yes.
Get an understanding. Yeah. The Bible says, in all thy getting,
yeah,
get an understanding.
Yes.
This is what we must do. Number one, Paul's conduct of his ministry. That's the preacher.
Okay.
That's the pastor. That's the apostle. That's the church planner. That's the one who started the church at Thessalonica. Huh? Paul.
Okay.
So Paul's ministry centered on two aspects. Number one, it was the impartation of the word of God. The first thing we have to do is impart, am I right there?
Yeah.
The word of God as a preacher, pastor to the church.
Come on, Bishop.
Amen.
The word.
Gotta have the word first.
Yes, sir.
Now, a lot of people, Sister Judy, have a shallow understanding. So we got to stay in the kiddie pool. We can't go deep with certain people. You know what I mean. Because certain people, if you go too deep, they're going to say, they ain't going to be talking about itself. Well, I just told us, the first thing is the preacher pastor must impart the word of God to the church. Now, we all agree with that, right? But this is the problem for the one that's shallow, that's not deep in the Lord. Then after that, the man of God must share his life with the people of God. A living testimony of his life, of the goodness of God, and what God is doing in his life. That's not bragging on him. It's bragging on God. Thank God that I pastor a church that's easy to pastor. Lord have mercy. Amen. But I have to deal with all them goats. You know what I mean? And so, the gospel did not come in word only, but in power and deed as well. In other words, I can't just walk the walk. I can't talk the talk. I have to walk the walk. Amen. And so, Paul's motive was to please God and express his concern for the Thessalonians' welfare. The message did not come in error or uncleanness or deceit, but in purity and in truth.
Yes,
and Paul, watch it, didn't use his ministry as a cloak for covetousness. This was demonstrated by his working. That means the preacher had a job or a business to provide for his own material needs.
Yes.
Do I have a witness there?
Yes, sir.
And so we thank God for the Apostle Paul. Secondly, the introduction was persecution. The Thessalonian church was founded in the midst of persecution. Paul had to leave the city for that reason. But guess what happened, y'all? The church continued on. It continued, it suffered, but Paul had to leave. But Paul encouraged the believers there not to be shaken by these afflictions. Because Christians are certain at some point in time to suffer. Why? Because Jesus suffered. And we're not better than him, so we have to suffer with Christ. That's right, Lady Thomas. Those that suffer with Christ also will reign with Christ.
Lord.
And you're in the message. That's good.
That's good.
Thirdly, it is sanctification.
Alright.
Now, salvation isn't finished once a person believes in Christ and receives forgiveness of sins. Let me help us. I don't want to sound like I'm sounding oxymoronic. Saying one thing and saying something else.
Contradictory.
That's right, contradictory to what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Once we are saved, watch this, we have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, right?
Right.
We are saved, we are sealed.
Yeah.
But we still sin.
Yeah.
because we are in this thing called flesh. And the body and the flesh want what it wants. Mm-hmm. So we still fall short of the glory of God once we saved, but that won't prevent us from going to heaven.
Grace.
Am I right there? We under grace.
Yes, sir.
And so that's why Paul says to repent daily, because we are unaware that we have offended our brother, our sister, or we have offended God. So we're still going to sin once we sin, but it would not prevent us from going to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to clear it up.
Thank you, Lord.
Watch the word. And so Paul's prayer for the believers at Thessalonica was that God would establish their heart blameless in holiness before God.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed out that God's will for them was to abstain from sexual immorality and to love one another, which I'm so doggone tired of dealing with some of these churches for 18 years. Love one another genuinely.
Yes.
I got faults. You got faults. We all have faults. None of us are perfect, but the work of the Lord must continue. Y'all got me? And so Paul uses example of work to encourage them watching in their own work so they would not unnecessarily depend on anyone else. Paul said it like this: work hard with your own hands and mind your own business. If I get in somebody's business, I'm getting in somebody's business to help them.
To help.
I'm not getting in their business to be messy.
Come on.
That's the type of preaching, pastor, person I am.
That's right. That's right.
And if I can't help you, I can help you another way. I'm going to go to God and pray to him to help you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what Paul was being an example to the church at Thessalonica. He wanted to let them know that to keep on working hard with your own hand so you can depend on the work that the Lord is doing through you and not another.
All right.
Then here is the message. Y'all ready? Here's the message. And fourthly, lastly, Paul wanted to remind them and us of the second coming of Christ. Now let me back up. Let me back up. It's for radio. I know y'all got this because y'all passed the teacher. A lot of people don't know what the second coming is. It's simple. First, Christ came already, didn't he?
All right.
How he came. He came, you heard the story. He came through the virgin birth of a woman, his mother named Mary. That's how he came. He came, and then he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Reared and raised in Nazareth. Walked the streets of Jerusalem. Galilee was his headquarters. And he taught, he healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He came already at the first coming of Christ. Right? But Paul wanted to remind us and the church he planted, the Thessalonian church, Jesus' return is mentioned in chapter 1. Watch it. Specific was the attitudes, the events, and encouragements about the day of the Lord. And Paul gave them assurance that Christ or Christians, watch it, are not appointed to God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
We escaped the wrath of God already.
All right.
How we did that?
Salvation.
And that's what we're talking about.
One of the rewards.
That one of the rewards.
Yes.
It's salvation.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. Y'all got it?
Amen.
Watch the lesson. Watch the lesson. Number one. Watch the lesson. 1 Thessalonians, the 13th chapter. Watch it if you will. The 4th chapter, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. The Bible said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Now we're going to stop there because people get offended by that. Paul is not offending the church that he planted, the people. right? That word ignorant means you just without understanding to a certain thing. What's the thing we talking about here? Salvation.
Yeah.
Right? So Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Then he said, brethren. When he said brethren, that's just not the men Christians. That means women and men. That's right, the whole congregation. Anybody that's saved.
All right.
Concerning them which are asleep. That ye saw not. That means those that have died on in Christ. If you say you have salvation, you're going to see him again.
Yeah.
You know how people fall out on the casket, fall, want to get in the casket and all of that, and die with them and all kill itself? No. That means they don't have the proper understanding of this thing called salvation, or the rewards of salvation. Are y'all with me here?
Come on, Bishop.
Now, when he said, but, I have to deal with it. That and or that but, you know, that's a conjunction. That's connected. Something happened before. And what happened before in 1 Thessalonians, that 4th chapter, that 1, verse 1 to verse 12, Paul was saying that we all are called to holiness. That's what he was talking about. He was letting them know to work hard with your own hands, mind your own business. You were letting them know to abstain fornication because the Lord has sanctified you. That word sanctification means you set apart.
Yeah, okay.
You are not be like you holy. You God's property. We are not be like everybody else. We are who we used to be. We are sanctified. We are set apart for the use of the master and for the work of God.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Paul reminded them now, and he's reminding us. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And he says, of what concerning what? Those which are asleep. That means those that's already died. Our loved ones, those that we know, right? That ye sorrow not, and look what he said, even as others which have no hope. That's why those fall out, want to get in the casket and all that. We got to pull them and hold them during the funeral. Because some of them is ashamed before God. They've been in church 30, 40 years. They don't have the proper context of this scripture.
No.
I know you're going to cry. It's going to hurt if you lose a loved one. But you got hope because you know better.
Come on. Come on.
You know they died in Christ.
Yes.
And they're going to him, be with him. And you know when you die in Christ, you're going to see Jesus and them again.
Yes, Lord.
You know how we put on the headstone, the cat, we shall meet again?
Yeah.
That's true. If they died in Christ, you're going to see your loved one again.
That's right.
You have hope. Don't make yourself sick and grieve yourself to death because you lost a loved one. Life must continue. Life must go on. But if you die in Christ, you shall see them again. Look what Paul says. Look what Paul said. Now, I had to do all that talking because I'm getting ready to go a little bit deeper. Y'all got it so far?
Amen.
The term asleep. In this context, in 1 Thessalonians, that 4th chapter and that 13th verse, that term asleep means euphemism. Say euphemism.
Euphemism.
That is to Christians who have died. Now go a little bit deeper. Euphemism is softens what's being said. Talking about death.
Uh-huh.
Huh? When we die, it won't be like others die who don't know Christ.
Come on, Bishop.
If we die in Christ, watch it, together, we will reunite with one another again with Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
You got it now?
Amen.
Real simple, real simple, real simple. Watch it, watch it. Real simple. And so this is particularly appropriate, just as sleeping persons expect to rise up in the morning. Now, when you go to sleep, you expect to rise up in the morning and see the next morning, right?
Amen.
Well, when we die in Christ, that's how it's going to be. Okay. We're going to go to sleep. And when we wake up, open our eyes, when he calls us,
yeah,
we hear our name called, we're going to wake up.
That's right.
Just as you go to sleep at night, you wake up in the morning. When you go to sleep, you die in Christ. And when Jesus calls your name, you're going to wake up.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.